This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email me anything you want. Your love, your hate, your death threats. All those can be emailed to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And the whole show is available by podcast. iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Go download the podcast. Now, we're going to get into yet another person was shot. A pro-life person was shot by a deranged communist. Talking about how America is actually more corrupt than the countries we make fun of. And the media is revving up the Trump-DeSantis thing as predicted. Before we get to any of that this hour, though. And yes, I'll hit on the new Italian election. Not that I think you care. But there is something, there's something we should talk about as it relates to us. But it's Medal of Honor Monday time. And for you new listeners, every single Monday at this time, every Monday, we do Medal of Honor Monday. There's nothing special I do. Everybody who's ever earned a Medal of Honor, they have a write-up on what he did. A citation is what they call it. They're all available online. Several different websites have them. They're all available free. You can sort them by branch of service or what the war was or whatever the case may be. But you can go read them. And please take this as me encouraging you to go read them. And more important than you reading them, read them to children. Read them to children. Children, they are taught early by their culture. Their culture educates them on top of you, on top of their teachers, on top of their church. The culture itself educates your kids and my kids as to what is good and what is bad. What is incentivized and what is disincentivized. That's all culture is, and kids are learning. Look at all the endless filth out there. Children are being taught is good. And then all the good they're being taught is bad. It's insane. You sit your kids down and read them Medal of Honor citations, whether it's in your home, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. There's nothing political about it. They get to find out what real men are like. They get to find out the men they're supposed to be. Now, this one it was a recommendation. Remember, we take Medal of Honor recommendations. This one was from Mark. He said, Medal of Honor Monday, Eugene Obregon, USMC. So, without further ado, let us pay the man his respects.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
This took place on September 26, 1950 in Seoul, Korea. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving with Company G in action against enemy aggressor forces, while serving as an ammunition carrier of a machine gun squad in a marine rifle company, which was temporarily pinned down by hostile fire, PFC Obregon observed a fellow Marine fall wounded in the line of fire. Armed with only a pistol, he unhesitatingly dashed from his covered position to the side of the casualty. Firing his pistol with one hand as he ran, he grasped his comrade by the arm with his other hand and, despite the great peril to himself, dragged him to the side of the road. Still under enemy fire, he was bandaging the man's wounds when hostile troops of approximately platoon strength began advancing toward his position. By the way, that's probably 40, 50 guys. Quickly seizing the wounded Marine's carbine, he placed his own body as a shield in front of him and lay there firing accurately and effectively into the hostile group until he himself was fatally wounded by enemy machine gun fire. By his courageous fighting spirit, fortitude, and loyal devotion to duty, PFC Obregon enabled his fellow Marines to rescue the wounded man and aided in essentially repelling the attack, thereby sustaining and enhancing the highest traditions of U.S. naval service. And he gallantly gave his life for his country. And as we do, we're going to play taps for the man.
Thank you.
Rest in peace, warrior. All right. Now, I decided we're going to go ahead and get this out of the way because this may or may not be popular, but I'm going to do it anyway. This one says, Jesse, you've stated many times you want a vicious fight between Trump and DeSantis for the nomination. You've also stated you believe Trump will endorse DeSantis if he loses. I have to respectfully disagree. I voted for Trump with gritted teeth in 16 and happily in 20. But I remember in 2018 when Greg Abbott cruised to victory while Ted Cruz squeaked past Beto O'Rourke because of the MAGAs. I don't know how many times I heard, I ain't voting for Lion Ted. They would gladly pull the lever for Greg freaking Abbott, but not Cruz. When I pressed them about why, they said without fail, you didn't hear all the things he said about Trump in 2016. A DeSantis primary win against Trump is a presidential loss. The MAGAs will write in Trump if they have to. I simply have zero faith in people who wear Trump pajamas to think strategically. I wish I was wrong. His name is Zach. Okay, well, let's have an honest conversation that is sure to be offensive to many. First, I disagree with this take that Trump's people, Trump hardcores, will not turn around and vote for somebody good. Look, if it ends up being some turd, which it won't, if it ends up being some squishy loser, which like Larry Hogan or something like that, no, Trump people aren't going to vote for him. If it's somebody who's good, I believe they will vote for him. And I believe Trump will back him because here's something that we should all understand. I didn't like Trump in 16 when I was a Ted Cruz guy. Very similar to you, I voted for him in 16, but I was all, he's going to suck. And then he was awesome until COVID, so I was really excited to vote for him in 2020, then he lost. But even during the days when I really disliked Trump, you have to admire a man who is a billionaire, has all the success in the world, and chooses to run for president. There's no other way to describe this. That's admirable. What do I tell you about politics? Why do people run for office? Well, hold on. You know what? What's the better way to describe this? Why don't celebrities ever actually run? You know, you always get some guy like The Rock or someone like that. I'm going to run for president. And then everyone gets excited. Woohoo! The Rock's going to run for president. And I tell people, no, he's not. You run for office because you want access to the things rich people have without actually having to accomplish anything to do it. That's why you run for office. That's the whole purpose. The Rock already has everything he needs. He doesn't want to go to Congress. The losers in Congress, they can't afford a steak dinner every night. So they run for Congress. So someone will buy it for him every single night. Trump gave that up to run for office. And maybe you're sitting there right now and maybe you're a Trump hater. And maybe you're saying to yourself, nah, Trump sucks. Trump this, Trump that. Oh, he was just doing it to be president. Okay. People do understand there's old, decades old video of Donald Trump with the same stances on the issues, the same America First stances on the issues that he had when he ran for president. Donald Trump didn't wake up one day and run for president and think to himself, I'm just going to go get the power. For decades, Donald Trump has been a loud patriot about issues that it didn't pay to be loud about, doesn't pay to weigh in on political things. Maybe you hate Trump's guts. Okay, fine. It's not my job to tell you how to think. I disagree. If there was a primary and he happened to lose, Trump's obviously the odds-on favorite if he runs, but if he happens to lose to someone like Heavy D, I disagree that Donald Trump wouldn't back him. Donald Trump loves the country. Donald Trump loves the country, and no one's been more crapped on by the government than his. I think Donald Trump would stand up and loudly back whoever the nominee ended up being. Now, as far as some Trump supporters, look, whenever you have a figure who's that charismatic and that popular, there will inevitably, on each side, be a certain percentage of cult-like followers who would jump off a bridge if Donald Trump told them to. Don't worry about that. That doesn't win or lose elections. Hardcores don't win or lose elections. They do not. Sadly, it's the squishy losers in the middle who don't know what they believe. That's who wins or loses elections. Now, that's the good stuff that's not going to offend you, hopefully. Well, actually, I don't care. Now, I'm about to offend you. Probably a lot. Hang on.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Time to get offensive, and that's before we put out the call for calls on spanking. Just hang on. I told you it's a big night tonight. Let's go back to this Trump DeSantis thing, because this is the headline. It ran in The Atlantic. Trump rips DeSantis as fat, phony, and whiny, so on and so forth. All right, let's pause for a moment here. Part of the reason I want Trump and DeSantis to both get in and fight, well, the biggest part is I want the best fighter. Whoever emerges from that will be better off. They'll be the most qualified one to leave the country. But another reason I say this, and I've been honest with you about this, is it's inevitable anyway. Why is it inevitable? Because the media, always seeking a divided Republican Party, the media will make it happen. You're already beginning to see it. The media will start poking Trump about DeSantis, and they'll start poking DeSantis about Trump. And while we like to think about these people as being impervious to these things, they're still human beings. If you're Donald Trump and you do 10 interviews and 10 times in a row, hey, this hotshot in Florida is going to run. Hey, do you think you can beat him? Hey, DeSantis, I heard DeSantis is even polling as good as you. Hey, do you see what I mean? Eventually, any human being, you're going to snap and say something. If I sat down here every single day and Chris, while he's on the toilet or something, Michael comes in here every single day and Michael starts saying something to the effect of, hey, Chris sucks. Hey, I heard Chris bad-mouthing you. Hey, Chris has been trashing you. Hey, Chris, how many times does he have to do that before I snap and say something back? Well, he's a turd, right? It's a stupid example, but it's true. It's human nature. Same thing for DeSantis. Every single interview he goes in, everyone, even though he's running for Florida, running for governor of Florida, every single interview, hey, did you hear about Trump? Hey, Trump said this. Hey, and now he's going to be asked about this. Hey, Trump called you fat. Hey, Trump said you're a phony. Hey, Trump said you're whiny. Hey, what do you think? Part of the reason I want them both to get in is I view it as being inevitable anyway, because the media is going to stoke it. And they have that ability. Poke someone in the ribs and poke someone in the ribs and poke someone in the ribs. And eventually they snap and say something. Then the other guy, because we're all full of pride, the other guy snaps and says something, and boom, it's on. Now, we do have to say this. One, I don't know if I believe any of that stuff, that Trump said any of that stuff. How could I believe anything from the same media that has lied over and over and over and over and over again without end? But I do have this to say. You know who wrote this book? It's a new book coming out. She's a New York Times reporter by the name of Maggie Haberman. For 4 years, Maggie Haberman and the New York Times, but honestly, her specifically, they ran with every single lie they could possibly run with to destroy Donald Trump. This woman specifically, I remember Trump played Edelweiss, or someone played Edelweiss. It's a song from the movie Sound of Music when they're escaping Nazis. He sings, geez, you've never seen the movie Sound of Music? Do you not have women in your life? I had a mother and a sister, so I've seen Sound of Music. Anyway, it's an anti-Nazi movie. And he sings this song Edelweiss to his family in the movie. The song, Maggie Haberman, remember, it was played in an anti-Nazi movie. Maggie Haberman said that's part of the reason, said something to the effect of linking Trump with Nazism for playing the song. That's how big of a deranged, lunatic, communist hack Maggie Haberman is. But that's not all the bad news. I don't need to tell you to despise a communist New York Times reporter. Set that aside. Tell me what you think about this. And spanking. You know what? It's a two-question night. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. Give me your honest thoughts, as forceful as they are. I don't care on spanking children. What do you believe? What do you not believe? And give me your honest thoughts on this. This is from the article. Trump shared his opinions about his former ally, that's what they're calling DeSantis, to New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman, whom he spoke to in on-the-record capacity three times as part of her research for her new book, Confidence Man. Donald Trump sat down with a communist propagandist with the New York Times three different times to give her an on-the-record interview for her book that she's going to sell? That she was obviously always going to use to continue to destroy Donald Trump by leaking out various lies, half-truths, and other things? Why is Donald Trump sitting down with a New York Times reporter ever? Why does Donald Trump speak to the New York Times? Does he need the name recognition? He's the most famous person on the planet. Why is Donald Trump helping communist New York Times reporters sell books? This is the kind of stuff that is not going to work next time. And this is part of the reason I want a primary, because I believe he'll win it anyway. And this stuff has got to stop. We have got to be smarter than this. Better, sharper, smarter. We've got to be smarter than this. You know what you do when the New York Times calls? Hey, we'd love to sit down for an interview. You know what your response is? That's the response when you're Donald Trump and the New York Times wants to interview you to help them sell books. All right. Maybe you disagree with me on that. Well, that's also fine. 877-377-4373. Let's talk about it. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Only halfway through the show. There's still much to be done. 877-377-4373. What are your thoughts on spanking? Are you going to spank your kids? Did you spank your kids? Should you spank your kids? Should you not spank your kids? I'll tell you, I'm torn. I told you what I feel about it. All right, before we get to that, a couple other things. I hit on this briefly. I think I should probably expand on this about Joe a little bit. How long have I been telling you they're going to give Joe the heave-ho? Well, here's a headline. Ex-Clinton advisor predicts Dems will dump Biden in favor of Hillary in 2024. Now, forget about the Hillary part of it. And then, of course, we had Jen Psaki walks right out of the White House, the job Joe Biden gave her, and trashes Joe.
Look, I think that Democrats, if the election is about who is the most extreme, as we saw, you know, Kevin McCarthy touch on there with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'll say her name, sitting over his left side, then they're going to win. Mm-hmm. If it is a referendum on the president, they will lose.
If it is a referendum on the president, they'll lose. Remember this. And we've talked about it a bunch. Let's talk about it again. The system will only take care of you as long as you're useful to it. Prove to be of some use to the system. That's what guarantees your future existence in the system. The second you begin to harm the system, to harm the system's nefarious goals, you're gone. We've joked about it before, but it's really true. Stephen Colbert, that embarrassing, not at all funny late night host, he's the guy who during COVID, he stood up and he did a song and dance with dancers about the vaccine. I don't know if I should play it for you here because it's mainly just that tequila song, only they're saying vaccine. I mean, if you find it, Chris, you can play it. It's fine, but it's one of the most embarrassing things. Whatever you think about the vaccine, one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen in the history of television. Why would you do something like that? As a grown man, when someone hands you that script or that idea, what in the world is going through your head? Why would you agree to do it? Well, why would he agree to do it? Because a couple months later, his crew went to Washington, D.C. and violated federal law when they broke into the Capitol. Department of Justice refused to prosecute. They all got out scot-free. Stephen Colbert proved, hey, it's embarrassing. I'm going to debase myself, but I will be of some use to the system. Joe Biden Joe Biden has become more trouble than he's worth.
But guess what? We got a lot to do. You gotta say hi to me. We go back a long way. She was 12, I was 30, but anyway.
Yeah, at some point in time, Joe Biden ceases to become useful. The system will ship him right out the back door like everyone else. Uncle Kunkel in Denver. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. What's it? What, go.
Hey, Kunkel's my last name, so it just happened.
Sorry, I thought it was a nickname I didn't get. Go ahead, boss.
So I think the Bible's pretty clear. If you spare the staff, you're going to spoil your child. And I believe that spanking does have a place. I support it. I got my butt whooped when I screwed up, but it came. You got to do it out of love and use it as a disciplinary tool, not beating on them out of anger.
I think that part he just made there is a really, really important point. That's one thing we never did. It was never like, get over here, bad mouth on your mother, and just start. Well, it was always calm down. And this, again, they were so young when we stopped, but that was how we always approached it. I think that's probably correct. Brody, Atlanta, go.
Okay, it's totally age appropriate. So your last caller was right. A loving father disciplines his child. But it's age appropriate at 3, 4, 5 to spank them. It's age appropriate at 6, 7, 8 to thump them in the head. And if they need a reminder when they're 16, a jab in the ribs is perfectly okay. Out of love.
I don't know. I don't think I'm jabbing mine in the ribs anymore. I'll actually take that back. I hold them down and jab them in the ribs all the time, but it's when they steal my pizza or something and we're wrestling around. I don't think, look, I stopped physically disciplining them a long time ago, but I never stopped disciplining them. I mean, it's just this morning at breakfast. Oldest son's sitting there eating his cereal for breakfast. I looked over, let's sit up straight. He was sitting there bent over, slumped over, sit up straight. It's a constant thing. Scott, Texas, go.
Yeah, I think 2024, it'll be a setup, of course. Hillary Clinton will end up winning the presidency. She'll employ Bill Clinton policy. Things will go well. And she'll be a media and white woman.
877-377-4373. All right, that actually gives me something I want to talk about. Something we've brought up before, but it's something we all have to get. When I hear things like that, I'm not calling you stupid or anything like that. That's a perfectly normal way to think, because for most of your life, for most of my life, it has kind of been a pendulum. We'll go this way, and then we'll go that way, and then you have your Nixon, and then you have your this, and then you have your... It just kind of swings back and forth. That's how it's gone for most of my life. We are past the point where there will be a pendulum swing. Let's say Hillary Clinton does get elected in 2024. I don't think she'll run. She's too old, too out of shape. But let's say she does run. She gets elected. Even if she wanted to have Bill Clinton's policies, even if she wanted them, she wouldn't be allowed at all. I've talked about this a ton when it comes to New York City is a great example. Bill de Blasio, he ran the greatest city in the world into the ground. And I heard so many people back when de Blasio was leaving and it was going to be Eric Adams, I heard so much of this wishful thinking from my New York City friends. Oh, it'll be better. Oh, Eric Adams is a former cop. Oh, it's Eric Adams. Eric Adams will be law and order. And I tried to explain so many times on this show, even if Eric Adams would have walked into the mayor's office and wanted to be tough on crime and lock him down and keep him in jail and all these other, even if he wanted that, he wouldn't be allowed. Remember, if you think about this like individuals, if you think about it like individuals, you'll never, ever, ever get it. What Joe Biden wants doesn't matter even a little bit. What Eric Adams wants, what the next Democrat president, whatever they want, doesn't matter a little bit. There will be no pendulum swing. Donald Trump was never supposed to happen. He was never supposed to be elected. Barack Obama packed this government full of committed communists who were, they thought they were going to have their chance to rule with an iron fist and finally smash the country they despise, America. Then Trump comes in, catches fire, speaks in ways other people don't, gets elected, and what happened? What happened to Trump? Did Trump seem like he was in charge when he was president? Now, that's not a disrespect to Trump. He got some great things done. Donald Trump was impeached twice from within his own government. 2-year Mueller investigation. We're not running things anymore. We're dealing with something totally different now. Totally different now. All right. Speaking of totally different now, actually, this is a great segue. Pfizer, CDC, FDA, America. Let's have a tough talk about that. Before we do that, you want to come to Israel with me and the boys? And the fam, actually. And a bunch of other people? You want to enjoy a trip to the Holy Land? We're going next summer for 10 days. Everything you can imagine. Jerusalem, Jericho, Nazareth. We're going to go see the Roman or the Jewish fortress of Masada. We're going to see it all. 10 friggin' days. Professional tour guides. It's going to be a blast. If you want to come with us, you can. You have to call 877-234-3002. It's next July. Or you can go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. Two different ways. You can call or go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Just Joe Biden's going to get the heave-ho. And I hear things like we're talking about the FBI being out of control. And someone said something to me along the lines of, hey, there's a reason they're not going after the communists. Well, yeah, that there is a reason they're not going after the communists because they agree with all of them. But this is one of those things I've said before, and you can tell your crazy liberal aunt this too. Every single American citizen on the right, left, middle, as far right as me, as far left as the full-blown communists, every single American citizen, if they had any understanding of history at all, would be speaking loudly about the need to disband the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Every single one of them without fail. But this is what the communist does. He sees an organization entirely loyal to him and attacking his enemies, and he goes, woo-hoo-hoo, this is fun, this is exciting. Look, we have it all, look, we have it all. Communist, it would do you well to understand you're going down too. You're excited because they're going to come throw me in the gulag. You know we're going to be bunkmates, right? You know the communists have always used street scum and useful idiots like you to win elections, to gain power. And then the second they gain power, you're lined up against the wall right there with me. Look, don't have to take my word for it. Take it from Mr. KGB himself, Yuri Bezmenov. He laid it out pretty well for you. Listen, communist.
Same thing was done under the guidance of the Soviet embassy in Hanoi. And same thing I was doing in New Delhi. To my horror, I discovered that in the files where people were doomed to execution, there were names of pro-Soviet journalists with whom I was personally friendly.
Pro-Soviet?
Yes. They were idealistically minded leftists who made several visits to USSR. And yet, the KGB decided that come revolution or drastic changes in political structure of India, they will have to go.
Why is that?
Because they know too much. Mm-hmm. Simply because, you see, the useful idiots, the leftists who are idealistically believing in the beauty of Soviet socialist or communist or whatever system, when they get disillusioned, they become the worst enemies. That's why my KGB instructors specifically made the point, never bother with leftists. Forget about these political prostitutes. Aim higher. This was my instruction. Try to get into large circulation, established conservative media. Reach, filthy rich movie makers, intellectuals, so-called academic circles. Cynical, egocentric people who can look into your eyes with angelic expression and tell you a lie. These are the most recruitable people, people who lack moral principles, who are either too greedy or too suffer from self-importance. They feel that they matter a lot. These are the people who KGB wanted very much to recruit.
But to eliminate the others, to execute the others, don't they serve some purpose? Wouldn't they be the ones they rely on?
They serve purpose only at the stage of destabilization of a nation. For example, your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize a nation. When their job is completed, They are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot.
The system only serves itself. There's no loyalty coming at all. Like, I got this email. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We need to aggressively reach out to abandoned Democrats and let them know they have more in common with us than the extremists who have taken over their party. This is from Steve, and it's 1,000% correct. How many Democrats out there, 50 years old plus, 60 years old plus, and I totally get it, tradition is what it is. It's very difficult to break voting traditions. How many of them are going out there now voting for somebody who believes boys can cut their penis off and become girls? And they don't recognize that at all. They might be old union blue collar people. Maybe they just hate Republicans. That's fine. I hate Republicans. But how many Democrats out there, how many of them realize what they're doing? Not all of them. Not at all. One of our biggest untapped voting blocks is older Democrats. That's fact. I mean, look at what's happening in the cities right now. Look at the cities descending into madness. People have to live in that, right? Republicans and Democrats in New York City, Philadelphia, coast to coast, LA, Miami, they're all living in that filth. Do you have a hero gun yet, by the way? Does your daughter that you sent away from home, does she, when she goes out at night on a Friday night in college, you know how often those stories end with her disappearing, right? Does she have a hero gun in her purse or a little hero arrow? Show her the hero arrow. It's so small and so sleek, it's not burdensome. You could carry it in your pocket. Make sure she has something. Your mother has something. Your husband has something. Don't let the person you love the most walk around unarmed. I always have something on me. Always. You better too. And more importantly than you, the person you love the most better. Don't need a concealed carry permit. It's non-lethal, so they don't even get the, I don't like guns. It doesn't matter. Go to hero2020.com. The code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply. Joaquin, Pennsylvania, go.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, buddy. You know the spanking thing? Yes. I mean, I'm 63, 4 kids, 9 grandkids. I got beat as a kid. You know, it's age appropriate, you know. The younger kids, they don't understand. But anyway, I really want to have a little bit of a disagreement with you. I think that calling someone a communist just does not have the same bite as calling someone a Nazi or a fascist. Thanks to, I mean, you know, we had the war against Hitler in Germany, and all you heard about was...
Well, you're not necessarily wrong about that. One, I'm not going to stop ever because that's what they are. One. Two, it has been extremely effective. How many people on the right now do you see referring to these people as communists? How many? Now, how many did you see doing that about 3 or 4 years ago? It has been extremely effective changing the language and using it against them. But you do bring up a good point. It's not nearly as effective as Nazi or fascist or these things. I mean, look, these people, this is stuff they say all the time. Hillary Clinton just said it.
I remember as a young student, you know, trying to figure out how did people get basically drawn in by Hitler? How did that happen? And I'd watch newsreels and I'd see that.
Okay, she goes on to compare Trump to Hitler, but why? Why isn't it as effective? You call someone a Nazi and they get really mad. You call someone a communist, oh, they don't care, or they deny. Why? Well, we've talked about this before. I've been doing a bunch of research lately. I'll get into it another time. Do you know what the most heavily biased field in American universities is for the communists? Actually, not journalism. It's history. It's history. The communists, they seek out your eighth graders' history class for a reason. People speak about Nazis in vile ways, and they should. You know that communists killed several times more than the Nazis killed. Many, many, many times. Chris said they killed a lot more Jews. They did. They did kill a lot more Jews. Communists, they are the cancer of history. That's what they are. But because we don't teach history in this country, people don't know. They know Stalin's a bad guy. They don't know the extent of it. All right. We still have another hour. 877-377-4373. Oh, look. Someone else on the right was shot. And Weiser back in the news. Oh, great. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.